Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
And part of the mission of the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter is to provide scholarships to service-oriented high school seniors.
Yeah, each year, approximately 50 deserving students are awarded scholarships to local colleges and trade schools.
If your family or business would like to join in providing scholarships to these future leaders by sponsoring a podcast, please contact us at byupodcast.slc@gmail.com, and we'd love to contact you. And each time we do one of these interviews, I am so excited for the opportunity. I feel like I learn more than anyone by virtue of the chance to listen to some of our amazing guests. And today is no exception, as we have the marvelous opportunity to meet with Morgan Jones. Morgan Jones is the host of the All In podcast and the manager of audience engagement for Deseret Book. She previously wrote for the Deseret News, where she published more than 480 stories. Her new book, All In, Exploring What It Means to Be All In, The Gospel of Jesus Christ, shares what she has learned from interviewing over 130 people about their faith in Jesus Christ. Morgan is happiest when wearing sweatpants and will never get enough dark chocolate. She currently lives in Salt Lake City, but will be forever a North Carolina Tar Heel. Morgan, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for having me. This is fun.
This is fun. And I'd like to just start off, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and also your inspiring podcast, All In.
Oh, well, I am originally from North Carolina. Like the bio said, I went to BYU, studied public relations there and graduated with a degree in communications, and then went on a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Washington State. And when I got home, I had a little brief stint working in PR and then ended up taking a 50% pay cut to go and intern at the Deseret News, and loved it so much I stayed for over 4 years, and then switched over to Deseret Book about 3 years ago. And we're coming up on 3 years of this podcast, and it has been super fun. We just interview people about various topics, but all connected to their faith. And at the end of every episode, ask the question, what does it mean to you to be all in the gospel of Jesus Christ? And apparently it's a good question. I can't even take credit for coming up with it. Somebody else, I think, came up with it in like a brainstorm, but it's a good question. People seem to like it, and the podcast has done fairly well. So we've had a good time with it.
And Morgan, I've had a chance to talk to you a little bit on other my Leading Saints podcasts about your recent book, All In. And maybe at this point, I mean, it's been out for several weeks now. How are people responding to it? And what surprised you about that response?
No, I think the book is, people have really responded well to it. I think it's nice for people to have something that they can like refer back to quickly. And from what I've heard, people have liked getting like what I thought about what I've learned about being all in. I think I told you, Kurt, that the original plan was just to compile all of the all in answers. But in the end, what we ended up doing is I kind of broke it up into the different topics that I felt like I had taken away from what it means to be all in, and kind of how my perspective on that question had changed and expanded. And people have said, you know, that they have appreciated hearing that. So that's a relief, because it would be really terrible if they were like, yeah, I liked all the quotes, but what you said was terrible.
I'm just curious if you're going to get to interview Other Holland now after, or did you pay him to talk about your podcast in general conference?
No, but you would be amazed by how many people texted me in that moment that Elder Holland said all in. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that Elder Holland has absolutely no idea who I am. And it was not like a planted, you know, mention or shout out, but a lot of people felt very proud of me in that moment. And I think that may be misplaced pride.
Well, Morgan, when I was at lunch with Elder Holland last week, he said he was a big fan. So I'm just kidding. He probably doesn't know me either. But.
One of us were at lunch with Elder Holland.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I've heard Ryan Smith say that as well, the founder of Qualtrics. I love it. I absolutely love it. Sorry, Kurt, go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask, you know, with with this process you go through, I know what it takes to get just quality guests on, and it's really difficult. I mean, there's quality in every person, but sometimes it's up to me as the interviewer to pull that out of them. But tell us as far as the process of finding guests for the All In podcast, and if there's any way that our audience could help, what type of guests are you looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, I will say I am a big believer that everybody has a story. I actually got a message on Instagram a couple of weeks ago from a guy who had been on a road trip. And he said he had listened to like 20 hours of All In on this road trip. And he was like, thank you so much. Like, I've enjoyed listening. And then he said, I just have one question. Do you have any episodes that are with people that are like normal and aren't doing anything super crazy with their lives? And to me, Kurt, the interesting thing is like, I feel like we've interviewed a lot of people that are pretty normal. That was one of our goals going into it, was we didn't want to just interview quote unquote like famous Latter-day Saints. And so we've tried to have a really good mix between the two. And so when I responded, I've had people ask that question before, and I've always just been like, we do have episodes with normal people. But this time I was like, you know, I think everybody has a story, and it's just a matter of how that story is told. And if somebody were to really dig into anybody's life, they would be able to pull out a story. And so that's one thing, is like, I feel like we will never run out of people to interview, because everyone has a story, and it's just a matter of like the way that the story is told to make it seem extraordinary. And so with that, having said that, I think, you know, we have a Google form that's connected to our Instagram. And if anybody's interested in like submitting or recommending somebody, they can absolutely pop it in there. But what do I look for in an interview? I think one of the biggest things is I try to keep a pulse on what people are talking about. And I'm sure you feel the same way, both of you, that I think a lot of times there are conversations that are being had like around the dinner table. I just had dinner last night with some friends and had this really interesting conversation that related to faith. So then it's like, okay, if that's the conversation that people are having at their dinner table, how can we address and help people that are struggling in that certain space? And so I try to keep in mind, like, what topics do I want to make sure that we're addressing, and then finding people obviously who can speak to those things. And then outside of that, there are just people with really incredible things to share. And I think there is something to be said for someone who can tell their story really well and articulate it in a powerful way. So that's another thing, is like making sure that whoever it is savvy and understands, like, you know, what's going to be beneficial to the listener and what might not be.
And in those dozens and even hundreds of conversations you've had now, can you tell us about a couple of conversations that have really stuck out to you?
Yes. So speaking of people that tell their stories really well, my probably, if I don't like to pick favorites, but if I had to be like, you know, forced to pick one, my very favorite episode of All In ever, Kurt, don't be offended, is with Marilee Kilpak, who's the founder of Gather. And she tells this story about how her little baby needed a bone marrow transplant, and his like 7-year-old brother donated his bone marrow to him, which is a long process. And she talks about, you know, what it was like to watch one brother give his bone marrow to his little brother. And then she like compares it to the atonement and what she learned about the atonement through that experience. And to me, that parallel is just so powerful, and the way that Marilee tells it, it just, every time it gets me. So that one really stands out to me. I think that there are other ones. Josh Pack is another one where I think he's a pretty normal person. He was in the the lake with his family, the reservoir at a family reunion, and just did like a dive in the water. Like he wasn't even outside of the water, just standing in the water, dove in and ended up paralyzed. And he's so inspiring, and talking to him and seeing like his enthusiasm for life and gratitude to be alive despite a really hard challenge, I think is really incredible. So I don't know, there are countless people that I could say stand out to me, but I think I'm inspired by anybody who takes the challenges that life gives all of us and manages to maintain a faithful perspective and an optimistic spirit and a hope about them that I think makes me want to be better.
Yeah. And thank you for not feeling like you need to pander to me. I know mine is 201st on the list. Yes. So it was
No. Your podcast, Kurt, somebody the other day was talking to me and they were like, which podcast episodes, they were naming podcast episodes that they loved, and they kept bringing yours up and how good it was. So you're at the top. You're at the top of the list.
Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting my mother. That's great. So.
she didn't say that.
Oh yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. So, I was just mentioning yesterday to somebody how just social media and having an online platform, whether in podcast or whatever form, it really is like the wild, wild west. Like, there's like no rules, and people are awful sometimes, people are great other times, but it's just crazy at times. So like, how do you handle like being this figure? Cause you didn't go to Desert Book thinking I'm going to be a famous podcaster, like, but you just sort of fell into this role. And so how do you, what's your perspective on all the sort of the craziness that happens in this social media world we live in?
I think that one of the biggest things that I've learned, and I think you're alluding, Kurt, and I'm not sure, so if I'm off base on this, I think you're alluding to like criticism and like opening yourself up people being a part of your whole life. And I do think it is crazy. I think I've always described it to people that I think it's so funny. You meet somebody and they say, oh, you don't know me, but we do everything together. We go to the grocery store together. Yeah. We ride bikes together, like all these different things. And it is a kind of a strange thing to feel like you're this intimate part of people's lives. And I think in no other platform do people feel so intimately connected as they do podcast, because it invites people into the conversation and makes them feel like they're a part of it. And that's what we want, right? There's a power in that. However, I do think it's hard when you meet people and they feel like you are best friends, and it's an honor to be that part of somebody's life. But it also means that sometimes they think they can say things to you that they would never actually say to somebody that they had just met or that they've never met. And I've had to learn. Probably the biggest thing that I've learned about receiving criticism is often you are the target of somebody's bad day. And I learned that because there was a lady that left a review on the podcast. And when I didn't respond, because you can't respond to podcast reviews, right, she then sent me a direct message in my Instagram, all to tell me that I don't enunciate my T's correctly. And I wrote her back and I tried to be really, really nice, but I just said, you know, my focus in these interviews is to listen to my guest and what they're saying. And I feel like if I am so focused on trying to correct an accent, which is the result of where I'm from, if I'm so focused on that, I won't listen to what the guest is saying and I won't be able to follow the spirit in that interview. And she wrote me back a very kind response and said, I was having a bad day when I sent you those messages. And I felt like you were something that I could fix. And I feel for that person, right? Like, we all have bad days, but I do think that it's so important for us to realize that when we're talking over the internet, we are talking to a human being that's trying to do their best. And they might be having a bad day too, and you could be just like pouring salt in the wound. So being sensitive of what is the goal, and if the goal of a podcast is to build faith and to try to strengthen people that are feeling weak spiritually, or to help them feel more connected to their faith. Obviously, the podcast is not intended to be a podcast about speech therapy or how to correctly pronounce everything. And I am very aware that I am from a part of the United States where we speak with accents and we say things wrong a lot of the time. And part of me like doesn't want to lose that, because that's a part of where I'm from and who I am. And many people would say that I've lost my accent, and I would hope that I haven't. So anyway, all that to say, I do think that it's a very interesting platform, and one that people may not realize just how unique that relationship between podcast host and listener, the dynamic that creates.
And it's easy to say to tune it out, but it's a whole lot harder said than done, right? And that's what makes it difficult. I love this from your story. Hal Boyd, who, as I understand it, picked you for the job, said people talk about why they are leaving the church, but there's nothing giving people voice as to why they choose to stay. Can you talk about this, and maybe what advice have you heard that may be of comfort to those who may be questioning their faith?
Yes. So first of all, I'll say, so Hal, he kind of had an idea at Deseret News that led to me trying to start a podcast at Deseret Awesome. News. Never really happened. But I do love this thing that Hal said, which is that the decision to stay is just as deliberate as the decision to leave. I think that is so important for us to recognize, because I think that Satan right now, he wants people to feel panicked when it comes to making choices about their faith. So when questions come up, or when we experience doubt of any kind, I think that Satan, he takes that as an opportunity to make us feel like we have to make a decision right then. And I think a lot of times in that, people panic and feel the need to, you know, I got to go. I don't have any time to figure this out. And I say that because I have friends close to me who recently have kind of battled with that decision. And one of my friends said that in this experience, she had the thought, well, choosing to stay is just as much a decision as choosing to leave. And I think we do have the decision. The option is before us to fight for whatever we decide. And either way, there are going to be consequences. And either way, there are going to be things that are hard. But it's like, what do you actually want? Because I don't think that it has to be something that comes from a place of panic. And I think we have to remember that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And so when we feel those feelings of anxiety, whether it be about faith or anything else, many times I think that's the adversary working on us and causing us to feel like we don't have time to figure things out. And God has definitely given us the gift of time and the gift of agency, and wants us to have that space to figure things out.
And Morgan, what would you say to individuals who sincerely want to be able to say that they're all in, right? And maybe they're just struggling, whether it's with questions, doubts, or they're having a hard time finding a place among our community of saints. What would you say to someone who really wants to be all in, but they're struggling to be in there?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say one big thing. So I do think that being all in implies a level of commitment. And I do think that should be the goal for all of us, is to get to the point of saying, I'm all in, take all of me. But I think a lot of times that is a hard thing to do. And I don't think that we are all in all the time. Most of us, you know, have experienced times where we have questions. And I think that it's so important for us to I can't remember. I think it was Elder Holland, maybe President or Elder Uchtdorf, that talked about, you know, first hold on to the ground that you do have. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes when we start to feel that sense of panic, we become so focused on the thing that we're struggling with that we lose sight of all the good that the gospel has brought into our lives. And so I would say the very first thing that I would do if I were struggling with my faith is to look back and see all the times that the gospel has blessed my life and all the times that I feel like God showed his love to me through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the times that I can see his hand guiding me. Because I think that that's important. I think that when we become so focused on what's going on right now, right here in this moment, it can be hard to remember how we felt in the past. So that would be the first thing that I would say. The second thing that I would say is to give yourself grace and to recognize that nobody has everything figured out and that there is, regardless of whether you leave the church or stay in it, there are going to be things that you don't understand. And recognizing that, you know, I think that there is value in staying in. There's a quote that I have been kind of obsessed with here recently. And I wish that I had my phone, but it talks about, it's by David Brooks, and he's a New York Times columnist. And he says that the truest definition of commitment is falling in love with something and then developing a structure around those things for the times when love falters. And I'm probably butchering that quote, but that's the concept of it. And I think that that's what we have to do with our faith. Obviously, there was a time where, for most of us, I think, where we did fall in love with it. And then, of course, as is the case with anything, there are going to be moments where that love falters a little bit. And so we have to have those structures around it. And that's why it's so important that we continue to do those things like read our scriptures and say our prayers. I have a real problem when people talk about like the Sunday school answers, because I'm like, that is the structure. And that's what helps us when we start to feel like things are kind of falling down around us. That's what gives us our foundation. So I don't know if that's helpful at all, but that's something that I've been thinking about great. A lot lately.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Morgan, you're awesome. We sure appreciate you and your time and being willing to come on with us and love talking to you. We could talk for hours, but we'll let you go. But thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next month with another episode of our Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast. Have a great week.